Good morning. Blessed to be here again this morning. I was just really blessed by the time of worship, even just the playing before we began singing. The one song that was being played is "He is Lord," and it just really, it just really ministered to me, and I guess it also speaks into what I want to share this morning. But just want to read this. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then it makes it personal. It says, "You are my Lord." And I just trust that that is the heart and prayer of each of us this morning as we're gathered here, that we could worship Him. And as we sang songs about Him, about who He is, about what He came for, I trust that our hearts were worshiping Him and we're grateful this morning for who He is and for who we are because of Him. I'd like to look this morning at the aspect of spiritual warfare. I'm going to call it part one. I think most of my studying ended up being for part two, which, Lord willing, will maybe be a little later. As I was wrapping that up this morning, I just felt the Lord speaking to me to lay a bit of a foundation first before I go into that aspect of it. Could you say maybe the theme verse for today and for the next one is the verse in Ephesians, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And I was looking at that aspect and going more into the aspect of spiritual warfare, engaging in that and being led by the Lord in that aspect and fighting against the enemy. I trust that we will go there maybe next time. But for today, I felt there's a need for maybe a foundation to that, understanding who we are, understanding our position in Christ, understanding who we have been called to be. I know the last message that I shared was the message on being set apart. I want to read just a few lines out of that before we go on into today's message. "We are set apart to join forces with Christ and do spiritual warfare against the enemy, to push back the powers of darkness that are present around us and around the world, powers that are fulfilling the desires of Satan, powers that are drawing men into deception, powers that are overtaking the church, powers that are destroying homes and marriages, powers that are enticing our children to love the things of this world, powers that are attempting to wear out the saints of God in these last times." And the questions were, are we committed to fight? Are we committed to being called out, to be separate, to be engaged in the battle, to walk in holiness? It is in this holiness and being led by the Spirit of God that we have the authority to do spiritual warfare. And so it was on those thoughts that I believe the Lord began to work these messages in my heart. And what I want to do this morning is begin by reading the whole book of Ephesians. And I encourage us to pay attention, to be alert, and to just allow the Spirit of God to speak to us as we read, to minister the Word of God to us as we read. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer before we do that. Father, I just come before You this morning. Lord, standing here before You, Father, before Your presence. Father, I just come, Father, asking You to come and speak Your words of life, Father. Lord, as we read Your Word, Father, may You open it to us, Father. Lord, I pray, Father, that You would reveal by Your Holy Spirit, Father, reveal Your Word to each heart here this morning. Father, I pray, Lord, that we could understand. Lord, who we are in you, Father, to understand, Father, the aspect with which we can fight, Father. Lord, the ground on which we stand, Father, the authority that is ours in Jesus Christ, Father. God, I just pray, Father, Lord, that these words that we read, Father, Lord, would not only be words, Father, Lord, written, Father, in your word, Father, but Lord, that they would be a life lived through each one of us, Father, that this would be a testimony, Father, of our lives this morning, Father. Lord, in our lives, Father, in the coming months and years to come, Father, as we face the unknown, Father, as we face the future, Father, I pray, Lord, that this word would be imparted to us, Father, and that it would become a part of who we are, Father, that it would become who we are in Jesus Christ, Father. I just pray, Father, this would be a reality, Lord, of the life that we live, the life that we walk. Father, I pray, oh God, Lord, that you would just minister your life here to us this morning, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 1. And like I said, we'll be reading the whole book of Ephesians. I was looking there in Ephesians chapter 6 at the passage on the armor. And he starts that section out by, "Finally, my brethren." And as I was, like I said, as I was wrapping up the preparation for the message, I read that, and it said, "Finally, my brethren." And so I began to look back. What's he talking about? Where was he before this? Where's he coming from? What foundation had he laid for this "finally"? And I just felt it was vital that we go back and we look at that this morning, that and some other scriptures first before we go into, and I believe it's going to be a two-part message here. But so let's begin here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." So here, that's us, right? It's just those that were at Ephesus, but I trust that each one of us fall under the category "to the faithful in Christ Jesus." "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. and hath put all things under his feet, and given him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So I pause there a little bit. Are we grasping what Paul is, the truth, the reality of what Paul is saying here? Who we are because of what God has made available in Jesus Christ and his burden that we recognize the fullness of the glory of God, that we recognize the exceeding greatness of the power of God that He has worked in us, and the truth, the reality of where Jesus Christ is today. The reality that He is seated far above all principalities and powers. And then He goes on. And you, each one of us, each one of you here this morning that have received that salvation. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do we grasp that this morning? As a child of God, where are we seated? What is our position? As we look at the aspect of spiritual warfare, of our authority over the enemy, where do we fight from? What is our position this morning? We saw the reality, and I believe it's so easy for us to believe where Jesus Christ is, right? We all say He's seated at the right hand of the Father. All authority has been given Him. He has all power over all principalities. But what's He saying here? And hath raised us, me, you, each one of us, together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As we walk in Him, as we receive from Him, as we walk in His power, as we walk in His anointing, as we live by the Holy Spirit, we are seated together with Jesus Christ, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's nothing that we have done. It is in Christ. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Hallelujah. Are you not grateful for that one Spirit this morning? That Holy Spirit that guides us, that leads us, that gives us direction. I sat here this morning as we were singing, and I just had to weep at the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of the Spirit of God that leads us, that guides us, that convicts us, that gives us direction, that comforts us, His rod, His staff, when He corrects us, when we take a step perhaps in the wrong direction, He guides us back. He leads us with His eye. He is there to show us every step of every way. If we are walking with Him, if we are yielded to Him, if we are soft, if we are broken before Him, He is there, that Holy Spirit. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation He hath made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent now that unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Is that your testimony this morning? Do you have boldness? Do you access with confidence the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we access that with boldness? It has been given to us in confidence by the faith of Him, not in our own confidence, not in our own strength. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Is that possible? I'm not sure. By the Spirit of God, it is possible. But every time I believe more is revealed, there's just more there, right? The more that God reveals Himself, the more there is that we recognize that there is. But God desires to reveal to us, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What does that look like? What does that look like in your life? What does that look like in my life today? As we are called to walk here in 2021, what does that look like? To be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, because of this, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. He's instructing us here how to walk. We've been called to this, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in your all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, He saith, when He ascended up on high. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Is that possible? Is that possible? Is it possible to fulfill the calling wherewith he has called us to walk? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, and that ye may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. How does that look? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whosoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he hath said, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Worship. He's encouraging us to worship the Lord. Open our hearts to the Lord. Receive what he has and worship him. giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. We see here that Paul starts out, first of all, laying a foundation of who Christ is. Who Christ is, the authority that is in him. And then he goes into who we are because of Christ, our righteousness. He is our righteousness. We are made righteous because of him. We are brought, we are seated together with him in heavenly places. And he lays that foundation of who we are in Christ and our calling to be set apart, our calling to live lives of holiness. And then he lays out some practical areas of that, of what that looks like, what it looks like for us to walk in that, what it looks like for us to walk as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ. And then he comes here to verse 10 and he says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Because of who Christ is, because of who you are in him, because of your calling, because he hath brought you out, and because these are the instructions for us to walk in. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in these things. Take the authority that is yours in Jesus Christ. Walk in this. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. How well do we understand that verse this morning? How well do we understand that? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against each other. We wrestle not against other men. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle against the powers of darkness, against Satan and his forces and his scheme and his plan and his goal to wreck the kingdom of God, to wreck the righteousness that God created. You know, God created a perfect world. He created perfect mankind and placed them there in the garden. Everything was perfect until Satan, in his plan and in his goal, brought deceit and mankind fell for it. And sin entered the world. And ever since then, there has been a battle. Ever since then, there has been a war. In fact, even before that, it says there was war in heaven when Lucifer was cast out. You know, Satan had stirred up a whole army against God, and there was war in heaven. And ever since then, the enemy's goal has been to destroy the kingdom of God in any way that he can. He doesn't care how it's done. He's no respecter of persons. And he doesn't care what means he uses to do it. He doesn't care. As long as he can wreck the kingdom of God, as long as he can bring chaos instead of God's peace, that is his goal. And that is what we fight against, brothers and sisters. That needs to be our focus. That needs to be, we are set apart to be a part of the kingdom of God and of his righteousness. And when we are set apart for that, we are set apart to do battle against the kingdom of darkness. In order to live what we just read, we have to stand. We need this armor of God. Let's go on into this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of this, because this is what we fight, this is what our battle is. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. I believe, church, this is not something that's just automatically there. Yes, we are under Jesus Christ. We have been forgiven by the blood. We have the authority, but we must take it. It is there for us. We must take it, and we must wear it, and we must walk in it. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. When I go through this in a little more detail, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong. Be strong in your confidence. Be strong in who you are, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. And he says that twice. He says twice, the whole armor of God. And I believe that's very significant that he mentions it. Take on the whole armor of God. Why? That ye may be able to stand. In other words, church, if we don't take this seriously, if we don't put on the whole armor of God and stand in this way, and stand against the enemy, will we be able to stand? Will we be able to withstand in the evil day? Stand, therefore, with your loins girt about with truth. You know, it's a picture of no hindrances. No hindrances. Your loins girt about with truth. And that girdle was when the men would take their skirts and pull them up and tuck them into a girdle so that they could run. There was no hindrance, nothing dragging them down, nothing hindering them from running and being successful in the battle. No weight, which we heard this morning, brother mentioned, the weights that do so easily beset us. That's what this picture is, laying aside those weights. That girdle of truth. And I love that. The truth will set us free. When we walk in the truth, when we embrace truth, when we seek out what is true, there are no hindrances. When we seek out that which is true, and we in that truth, the hindrances, the falsehoods, the misconceptions, the suspicions are all put away. And we can run, we can fight unhindered. He says, putting on the breastplate of righteousness. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He is our righteousness. This is our protection. You notice, where is that righteousness? Where is that breastplate? This is the most vital area, right? Covering the most vital area of our body. You know, our bodies can take wounds to many places and heal. But right in this area is a very, very vital area. It's essential, church, that we take on His righteousness, that we recognize and we walk in His righteousness. This is our protection. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, being ready always to give a reason of the hope that is within you. The gospel is to flow from our walk and our talk. Having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, speaking, living, walking the gospel of Jesus Christ. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, he says of the children of Israel, says they entered not in because of their unbelief. They entered not in because of their unbelief. They did not have faith. And it cost them. We must choose to believe God and to reject the lies of the enemy. It's a choice. We take that faith and we believe God. We believe His Word. We believe our position in Him. And we do not allow the lies of the enemy to penetrate our heart. Whatever those lies are, whether it be condemnation or a negative thought or a lie about someone else. The enemy, he is no respecter of persons. If there is any way he can plant a lie in a heart, that's how the whole fall began. Well, really, it came more out of the area of questioning and of pride. Hath God said? Hath God said? And then he spoke a lie. First, he planted that seed of doubt, that seed of unbelief. And when he had that seed of unbelief planted, he was successful in that. You could say Eve's shield was dropped. And then he planted that lie. It's the same for us today. We must stand with that shield of faith. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Even Christ Himself defeated the enemy using the Word of God. It's vital, church. It's vital that we know it, that we know the Word of God, that we use the Word of God, that it's embedded in our hearts, that it's planted in us by the Spirit of God, that it's not just a book, it's not just a story, it's not just knowledge, but implanted in our hearts by the Spirit of God. It is then that it is an effective weapon against the enemy, to drive back the enemy, to drive back and to succeed. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. We heard some of that this morning where the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And He gave them that example there. But He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit.
knowing the will of God in our prayer, praying in the Spirit of God, praying His heart, His burden, praying, it says, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, church, this is no just casual prayer. This is knowing the heart of God. This is pressing in intercession. This is releasing the bonds of darkness through the Spirit of prayer. This is interceding, knowing the heart of God, and setting the captives free. I believe this is the prayer that He is talking about here. This is true prayer. This is knowing and praying the heart of God. This is walking in victory, storming the strongholds that the enemy has taken, and setting the captives free. This is the kind of prayer, church, I believe that God would have us to walk in, and in this reality in spiritual warfare. Church, I believe that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to this kind of warfare. We are called to this kind of warfare. We're not just called to just be saved and then sit back and have a relaxed life and have good fire insurance. We're called. We're called to go, to set the captives free, to go out and to bring others in to the reality of who Jesus Christ is, into His righteousness, into His holiness. We are called. I'd like to turn now to Romans. Going to be reading a good bit more scripture here again yet. Turn to Romans chapter 5. We'll begin reading here in verse 1. And just again, just wanting us to see the reality of who we are, the reality of our authority in Jesus Christ, the reality of the life that we have been called to as His people, the reality and the foundation. Again, I believe this is the foundation of spiritual warfare, understanding who we are, understanding who we fight, understanding how we fight, understanding our position in Jesus Christ, and the position with which we can fight from. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was
by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that offenses might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. From here forward, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, just like Christ, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then, because of your obedience, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. I'm sorry, I was going to skip over to verse 14 of chapter 7. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do I allow not, for what I would that do I not, but what I hate that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do. Now if I do that I would not, It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we shall be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But we hope for that which we see not. Then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things,
We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I'm going to stop there. You know, there's probably dozens of messages that could be preached on all the scriptures that we read this morning. But I trust that as we read them, the Spirit of God was faithful to reveal them to us and to just reveal that truth in our hearts of who we are and the foundation of the platform that we have as His people to walk in victory, to walk in truth, to walk in grace, to walk in life, and to stand, to be strong in the Lord. And the purpose for putting on the armor, for taking that armor, and for fighting, for going in to the territory of the enemy. And we'll look more of that in the next message of how we have been commanded. We've been commanded to go, to set the captives free. But first of all, this, what we read this morning, needs to be a reality in my heart. It needs to be a reality in my life. It needs to be settled. I need to be rooted. I need to be grounded. I need to be walking in this reality. I need to be walking, standing against the enemy in my own life, standing in truth, walking in faith, walking in prayer, walking in the Word of God, walking in the truth and in the reality of the Spirit of God and of the life of Christ in my life. It is that foundation that will give us the foundation that we need, church, to go and to set the captives free, to be a church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. Is that our heart this morning? Do we long to be a church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against us? Do we long to be a church where the enemy cannot get a foothold in the door, where the enemy cannot spread lies, where the enemy cannot spread suspicion or deceit or anything in our lives? Do we long to be that church this morning? I do. I do. And I believe that is why we have been set apart. That is what we have been called for, to be the church of Jesus Christ, to be the church where His name can go forth unhindered. Unhindered, where we can press in and fight against the principalities and powers of darkness that are evident around us, where we can walk even as the apostles walked. We heard Wednesday night where Paul and Silas were in Philippi. You know, and this girl just cried out. It was the evil spirit within her, you know, just kept crying out. And Paul confronted that spirit and released the captive, set the captive free. Are we the kind of church that is a threat to the enemy? Or has he been able to manipulate and spread his propaganda, his agendas, to where it minimalizes the threat that we are? And we'll look more at that in the next message. God bless you.